Well, we thank the Lord this morning. I appreciate that song. It says He giveth and giveth and giveth again. I just appreciate the Lord doing that for us. You believe He has the grace to just keep giving? More grace than we could possibly need? He has the power to do that, and it's no problem for Him either. In fact, He likes to do that. I've just been thinking all week about grace and about the thought of Him giving more grace. This morning, I was thinking about, we just went through a camp meeting and we heard many wonderful challenges and many messages where the Lord got down and dealt with us in our hearts. I know that, all of us. I'm sure He did. And, you know, I think about grace, how that the Lord wants His influence to be able to carry us through those things that He's dealt with us on. I was thinking about the dealings that the Lord has with us and the things that we learn through life. And you know, we learn a lot of things that are good for us and things that are bad for us. And we learn a lot about life going through life. Sometimes after we get married, we begin to study some on marriage and what is it that makes a marriage good, and what do we need to put into our lives in so many areas of our life? And I've been thinking about this for some time. You know, we can know and get real inspired about all the right things that we should do and go back home and not do any of them and actually lose ground. That's because we can go home and not find the grace to do what we know we should do. You know, the Lord speaks to us in life, in many areas of our life. He teaches us. The scripture says the grace of God hath appeared to all men, teaching us. And it goes on, but the grace of God teaches us. It tells us things, the paths of life. You know, you and me this morning, the grace of God teaches us the paths of life. But you know, that's not enough. If we don't find the grace of God, the grace for grace that we've heard of, if we don't find the grace of God to move into those places where the Lord has dealt with us, then will we move forward or will we really lose ground? I've seen many, many times people lose ground when they became very inspired about maybe something God had been dealing with them on, and go home and lose ground. And you think, how can that happen? They saw it so clearly. It's because it still takes grace. The element that we needed more of to start with, when we have a problem in our life, we're still going to need it after we know what the answer is. The answer doesn't fix it. We have to find the grace of God, that strength from God, to be able to apply those things into our life. And how do we find that? How do we find that strength of God to be able to go out and be changed? When the Lord gives us a little view of ourself and He says, that's self, and I want to set you free from that. I want you to be blessed in that way. I don't want you to be under that thing. My grace is sufficient for you, and I want to give that to you. How do we find that kind of grace this morning? And so that's really my thought that I feel like the Lord has given us. But I want to start in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. And Paul, it says in verse 7, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You know, God allowed that in his life, just like he allowed with Job some things. And he said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for you, for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul got a hold of something. His weakness wasn't his problem. His weakness would be that he didn't get a hold of the grace of God. Because the Lord said here to Paul, he said, "My grace is made perfect in weakness." Your weakness is what I need for my grace to shine. And so our problem is that we have to get a hold of the grace of God and access it and have hold of it. And the Lord wants to give us grace. He has grace for our lives. He has strength for us in life. You know, Paul said, he goes on to say, "Therefore, because I know this thing," he said, "I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in those distresses." He said, "In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." How could he say that? That doesn't make sense. When I'm weak, I'm strong. Because Paul accessed the grace of God. And when he was weak, he accessed the strength of God. And it came in and filled his life and made him strong. God doesn't want us to be strong in ourselves. He made us with vulnerabilities. He made us with needs. He made us with personality complexes. Or at least we come into the world with different personalities and needs with those personalities. However that happens. Please pray for me that I can talk this morning. This morning, we have needs, and God knows it. But He made grace to cover those things. Do we feel like we're weak this morning? Do we feel like the mountain is impossible? That's just fine. You know what? That's just fine. It really is. Because Paul said, when I'm weak, he didn't say this, but this is what he meant. I access that power from God, and then I'm strong. And you know, God's strength never fails. Our strength will fail. God's strength won't fail. When we learn to access the grace of God, we have something we can live with in life. The things, the good things of God that the grace of God brings comes from God. And I want to challenge us this morning that we access that in our life and learn to find it. We want to speak of that a little bit after a while. And I pray the Lord to open our hearts to realize God and all His strength, all His grace, all His goodwill toward men. It is there for you and me, not just for him or her. It's not just for somebody. It's there for all of us. He hath appeared to all men. The grace of God, it says, has appeared to all men. It doesn't only teach us. It empowers us. It strengthens us. It gives us what we need to go on. It gives us joy in the face of many problems. That's what the grace of God can do. It's deeper and stronger than we realize it is sometimes. It has more available to us. And Paul accessed that. In this weakness he had, I don't know what this thorn was. Some people believe he was blind. I have a hard time really believing that because Paul was healed of his blindness. I don't know what this was at this time. But we find here that he had something and God allowed it into his life. And this morning, I want to ask us, what is it in our lives that we feel weak and vulnerable and that troubles us? I want to tell you, take it to the Lord and allow him. He said, "I take pleasure in those things, for when I am weak, then am I strong." In 1 Peter 5 and 10 is another little verse I want to catch before we go on. It says here, "But the God of all grace. Listen to that. You take that into your heart this morning. You take that promise into your life this morning. I want to take it in. I want to take it in by faith this morning. The God of all grace, it says, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. That grace is going to work some things in us. Going to change who we are. It's going to change that thing, that natural propensity. It's going to put some grace on there. It's going to give us some strength where we had none before. You know, I want to look at the Strong's definition of grace. And I know maybe all of us heard this several times. But the definition says graciousness of manner or act. I'm reading parts of it. Especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life, including gratitude, acceptable, benefit, favor, gift, grace, gracious, joy, liberality, pleasure, thanks, thankworthy. You know, as we're speaking of grace this morning, I like to kind of boil it down to where it's the gift of God's graciousness in our life. It's the gift of His divine influence upon our heart and the way He works in our life. It's that gift that He has given us. You know, without that, we don't have the divine part of it. And we see a world today, even a world of religion, that has very little power in it today, claiming all kinds of a gift of grace that isn't grace at all, but a gift that has no power. But I'm thinking this morning about the divine part of this thing and how God wants His influence to be in our life as it's lived out in our life. The Lord wants to do that this morning. Without this special favor from God, we're minus that benefit. Without the grace of God, we're minus that benefit. And so if we go through life and we try to fight our battles on our own, we're going to be minus that special benefit that God wants to give us in our battles. In our troubles, the special benefit that God wants to give us, we're going to be minus that if we don't have the grace of God working in our heart and in our light, in our life. That special benefit that He wants us to be able to conquer who we are, be able to overcome our flesh. We're going to be minus that help without the grace of God this morning. Without the grace of God, there's no forgiveness. You know, that's the grace of God. That's His graciousness to us, to look at us and see our situation. And we've all sinned. The Bible says so. So I can say it. You know what? God gives us that special favor to forgive us and to make us able to please Him after that. He makes us able to do that. It's the grace of God that comes from God. Without that, there's no help when we need it. There's no influence from the Lord. What's left is for Satan to have his day in our heart and life. I don't want that in my life. Do you? That's what's left without the grace of God. You see a world today all losing and losing and losing so much. Even those that are rich and powerful and going out there with all their glory, they're losing their dignity and their honor, their integrity, the things that matter. They're standing to know that I'm ready to meet God, losing those things. That's what's left without the grace of God. And we see it all around us in the world today. But the Lord wants us to be able, when we need to bear with somebody or something, the Lord wants to give us grace to be able to do that. The Lord wants to be able to give us grace when we would be foolish and be in such a way that we would be ashamed of ourselves. The Lord wants to give us grace to not be that way. We thank the Lord this morning for the grace of God. I was thinking about our homes. I want to challenge us this morning that God wants to be in us and in our lives. He wants to heal our lives. He wants to heal our backslidings. He wants to heal that. Young folks, the Lord wants you to have grace to be able to live for Him. And He promised us that He would heal our backslidings. The Lord, through His grace, can do that this morning. I want to talk a little bit now about what it takes for the Lord to do that. I know it sounds good. This sounds good because it is good. I believe what I'm saying this morning. I found it so. I found the grace of God to be something awesome in our life. Something that empowers and strengthens. Causes us, when all the chips are down, the light of day comes into our heart. How does that happen? By the presence of the Lord. By the grace of God. The goodness of His graciousness and His kindness toward us. That He sees our condition and He's able to lift us up this morning. I'm sorry my voice is not doing real well. James 4 and 6. Listen to this promise that God has given us. It says here, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You know what? We're talking now about what's it take to find grace in our life. What's it take for the Lord to work? He said He resists the proud. He resists those that in their own way. There's a scripture that speaks of of us not taking our own way. It's in Proverbs, the first part of Proverbs. It says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's what it says. And you know, I'm thinking this morning here, He says, He resisteth the proud. You know, when we see with our own eyes and we feel like we know more than God and we take our own way, you know what it says in this scripture? It says, God resists the proud. That's proud of us. And God sees it as pride. He wants us to open up our hearts to Him. It says He giveth grace to the humble, to those that seek His face, to those that fall on their knees and say, Lord, I need You. I need You in my life. I'm a failure without You. You know, that's what the Lord wants us to know. He wants us to just come to that place of utter dependence. Lord, I'm totally needy of You. If You don't help me, I'm not going to be able to live to be a good example. I'm not going to be able to meet You in peace if You don't share with me Your grace. And so He says, He giveth grace unto the humble. That's the first thing I want us to think about. I want us to read another scripture. 1 Peter 5 and 5. Listen to this. Almost the same thing again, only it adds a little to it. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You know what He's saying here? Got to humble ourselves to one another a little bit too. To my wife and her to me. I have to humble myself sometimes. That's scripture. And He said, if we'll humble ourselves, not only to God. Some people are very proud and arrogant in life. But oh, they have this thing with them and God. No, they don't. He gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to us when we humble ourselves and confess our need. Honey, I need you to pray for me. I need the Lord to help me. I need the Lord to give me something here. You know what? The Lord hears that. He sees that humble heart. And He said, I give grace to the humble. What does the scripture say in Isaiah? What is it? I think I wrote it down somewhere. But He said, to this man will I look. To him that is humble and of a contrite spirit, I believe. Isaiah 66. What verse is it? It speaks there, he says, to this man will I look. And so this morning, I want to, what's that? Yes, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. This morning, I just want to challenge us. God's grace is available. And let's look to him. Lord, I need more of your grace and I want more. And I want to find out the places that I can put in place where your grace will come to me. He said, I'll look to the man that's humble and of a contrite spirit. Are we humble and of a contrite spirit? I'm not trying to throw anything at us this morning. I'm just trying to challenge us. God's grace is beyond what any of us can even comprehend. It has more than we need. Way more than we need. And if we can just get a hold of a little bit of it, it'll take us through this life. It'll feed us so many times. And so many times, I believe we have to humble ourselves. The scripture that we read, yea, all of you be subject one to another. Listen to the rest of the next scripture says, I'm sorry. I'm going to read on there. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make ye perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You know, it says here, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God. That means we humble ourselves under God. And all that God allows our way. We humble ourselves to God in everything. And you know what he'll do? He'll pour the grace out upon our life when we do that. He'll bless us in ways we never thought possible. He'll keep our heart and mind in ways we never dreamed God could do. I've found it to be so. He will do that for us if we will allow him to. Many times we, in our wisdom and in our great understanding, we say no, God. We don't say it just like that, but that's what we do by our actions. The Lord wants us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Lord, I'll never look to you and be bitter. I'll never look to you and demand my right. Lord, I'll take your way no matter what it is. If you'll help me to know it, and I know that's what I must do, I will. You know, when we do that, God, that has heaven at his right hand, and he's there, and he has all that grace, he can pour out on us way more than we need all through life. And I believe he will do that. I was thinking about some things sometimes we have to do to humble ourselves. If we have sinned or done wrong, even if we haven't sinned, if we've done wrong to our brother, maybe we didn't even know it, humble ourselves and take care of it and admit that thing. I've found that, you know, that breaks the lock the devil has on us when we take care of our part and we take care of our job. Don't let the devil have any place in our life. Jesus said he had no place in him. There wasn't anything the devil could put his hand on and say, that's mine. You know, we have to humble ourselves and confess right where we're at to get help that we need from God. Put aside anything that will keep his grace from coming. We need God's grace. Put aside those things that may displease the Lord. Well, I don't think it's sin. I just think, you know, it just, I know the Lord isn't pleased with this, but you know what? Put it aside. Don't let those things impede the grace of God to our life that He has so richly. Humble ourselves and confess our entire dependency on the Lord. I don't know about you. I feel real dependent on God. If He don't help me, I'm in trouble. I've got to have Him all the time. Confess that to Him. Spend some time with Him. Tell Him, Lord, I need You. I love You. I want to do Your will. But it takes Your grace for me to do that. And you know, when you confess that to the Lord, there's something that begins to happen in our life that God begins to work. Acknowledge we need God and cry out to Him with all our heart. Don't let anything stop our crying out to the Lord. You know, there were those in the Bible in Jesus' time that there was one sitting by the roadside and they told him to be quiet. Don't keep crying. But he found out Jesus was passing by. Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. I want to tell you something. He's real and His grace is real and I want it. And I believe if I cry out for it and I humble my heart, give myself to Him, I believe I'll find it. I believe He'll give it to us. And He does. And I thank the Lord for that. This morning, I just want to encourage us to do the things that brings the grace of God. Thought about the message Brother Leslie preached during the meeting. And he spoke of the small intestine and how that the food goes down and it goes through our stomach and it goes through our small intestine and there it, you know, we chew it with our mouth. I don't know that he spoke of that, but we chew that food with our mouth. We're here doing that this morning. We hopefully do that in our private devotions daily. We chew our food. We spend time a little with it. You know, it's not really where it needs to be yet. It's not really doing us all the good it needs to do us yet. Has to go down into our stomach and be smashed around a little. And then it goes in our little intestine, small intestine, and it assimilates through the walls into our bloodstream. I went home, got the encyclopedia, and started reading a little about that after that, or a few days after that. You know, this morning, the Lord wants His Word to assimilate into our life. And the things of God is not a disconnected place in our life. It's integrated in everything we do. We allow the things of God, the words of God, His dealings with us, let it assimilate into our life. Take it into our life. That takes a little time for that to happen. Doesn't happen just chomp it down and now we got the strength. There's some more things that has to happen. I want to encourage us. If you want to progress and know God in your life, get to know Him. Spend some time with it. Assimilate that word. Think about it. Meditate on it. Let it be a part of your problems and a part of the answers in your life. Think about the things, how the Lord wants it to be. Let it work in our life. Let it assimilate into our bloodstream, spiritually speaking, in a way that begins to give us strength. It really happens that way. The Lord begins to give us strength. And is it by, oh, I chomped down a good message and now I've got strength? You know what? It helps. It really does. We feel a lot better after we eat. But I will tell you, if day by day, we will assimilate the Word of God into our life. Take some time. This takes time. Take some time and step aside and be quiet. And let the Lord talk to you. Sometimes I feel like this is critically important to the grace of God in our life. Take some time to be quiet. Lord, I just want You to speak to me. I want to hear Your mind. You hear my words all the time. I want to hear your thoughts. Do you do that weekly? Do you do that on a weekly basis, daily? Or I know every day we can't spend that kind of time. Draw aside and let the Lord, let your heart just cry out to Him. Lord, speak to me. Lord, teach me your ways. Show me your paths. Let your heart cry out to God. To me, that's a vital link in here that sometimes we don't do. Sometimes we do our devotions and think that's enough. Spend some time crying out with your spirit to the Lord. Lord, I need you. I want you in my life. I want your will in my life. And you know what? He'll begin assimilating his will into your life. He may call for some sacrifices. That's part of assimilating his word into our life. The Lord begins to talk to us and we begin to see, oh, that's one reason that people don't do it sometimes. Because God begins to speak. He begins to get rid of the stuff that's not good and assimilate the things that are and work in our life. And you know, if we'll give Him some time and we'll call out to Him with our very spirit and our heart and we spend some time like that, you don't have to be praying a certain thing. Just let your heart cry out, Lord, have mercy on me. Help me out. And you know what? When God begins to speak and He begins to give us grace, He begins to give us His mind, He begins to give us His peace, His joy, the things of heaven, the Lord begins to do that. That's the process that it happens through. Just want to challenge us this morning. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. Let it work like it's meant to work. I want to read a little bit here in Acts 4 and 18. And listen to this story. We're all well familiar with this story. But I love the way it speaks. And they called them. There was a healing done. Peter and who was it? John, I believe. Yes, Peter and John. They had been doing the work of God, and here the Lord had done something, and they called them aside, and they threatened them, and they let them know, you don't speak anymore in the name of Jesus. Well, Peter and John needed something. They either needed some grace, or else they were going to need to be shutting up, because they were going to get in trouble. And it says here in verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Listen to their need of grace and what happened here. When they heard that, when they got the news of their need, okay, now our need might be different than theirs, but when we know we have the need, this is what they did. It says, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And in fact, they went back to their company. They went back to the others and they prayed together. And I think sometimes we need to do that. And I do that fairly often with other ones that I know the Lord. And I pray with them. Pray with me. Help me. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Now I'm going to skip down to 28 or 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. You ever needed boldness to do all the will of God? To stand up in the face of losing your job? Or you're working with a company that's requiring you to be dishonest, and you have to say, I won't do that. I won't lie to them. I'm sorry. That's why when I got new companies, I would tell them first thing, I'm going to tell you something. I won't lie to you, but I won't lie for you either. And I want you to know I mean that. Now, so if that's a problem, don't ever put me on a job that is going to require that. It says here, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. That'd be something, wouldn't it? I would have loved to have been on that one. They were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The Lord just granted them another little visit and just filled their hearts again. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. They had all things common. And with great power, listen to this, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Just want to give us those few thoughts. Maybe I have a few more things here. The grace of God, it says here, that great grace was upon them all. And with great power they gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something today. The Lord wants us to give great witness to the fact that Christ lives out of our life today. And it's going to come from His grace. And it comes like this. It comes by us humbling ourselves. We want to live for God, we can live for God. But we're going to have to live by God's grace and by the strength that He gives. And by the help that He gives, by the submission that we have to Him, by being totally committed to the will of God, totally dependent on Him. I know I've said this before. I'll say it times again, probably some from time to time, because the story sticks in my heart so much. But I heard Brother Chuck many times speak of Brother Trimble, I believe his name was, California. This man rejoiced all the time. They said he lit up the services time after time. He just always was rejoicing. But this man had a really bad home life. And they said sometimes he would go home and the door was locked. And he was locked out and couldn't get in. And many things he suffered and endured. But what he did was, he found the well of grace, and he drank there, and he brought his life with him to the services, and it mattered. They said many, if I understood right, and I think I did, many of the ministers counseled with him at times, though he wasn't called to preach. Many counseled with him. What happened? How could he have that in spite of all of that? I remember Sister Catherine Williams, she used to sit right over here, come to our meetings, and the Lord would come upon her, and she would begin rejoicing, and the Holy Spirit working through her. And it was wonderful how it affected the meeting, how it affected my life to this day, to see that, to see the power of God work in her, and the grace of God. And I'm not trying to lift her up. She drank at the well. She told my sister there was a time she was so depressed. All the time she was just depressed, depressed, depressed. Felt sorry for herself and felt sorry for herself all the time. That was her life. She wanted out and she began to seek the Lord for it. And she put in for it and she began to drink at the well. In all the years I knew her, she wasn't anything like that. I never knew anyone with more joy, with more blessing in their life That's the grace of God. There's more there than we can take in. If we had our whole life to drink nothing but the grace of God, we couldn't even touch it. The grace is there. It's more than we need. And the Lord wants us to assimilate it into our life. Did she suffer some? Oh yes, she suffered some. I heard about her son and somebody shot him. Is that right? I believe that's right. Maybe I shouldn't. I know that's what I was told. She suffered that in her life. She suffered many things, but the grace of God kept her. You know what? We don't, many of us, have to suffer as many things as some of those have suffered. But we can have the grace of God if we'll put in for it. I want to read just a couple more things. And I want to say this about Brother Trimble. I'm going to bring this up because they told me that he felt like at one time he felt called to preach, and he started preaching. And it didn't work. It didn't. It wasn't. But you know what? He was a humble man. They said he took his seat and he sat right there and never quit supporting those ministers. They had to work with him on that. He was just as supportive because he was very vocal in the services. Very amen. And right there behind the minister, the grace of God working. He was a humble man. And he wasn't defeated by his defeats. But he found the grace of God for it. You know, in Hebrews it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. How many have been defiled by bitterness? I've seen it. It's one of the worst cancers there is. And it's one of the things that can defile you and me. And I've seen it do it with people right here and take them out. I've seen it happen. But it says here, look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. God wants there to be grace in our hearts. When we're wounded, when we're offended, He wants there to be grace in our hearts. Revelation speaks of the remnant that was affrighted. And what did they do? They gave glory to God. You know why? Because they went to their source. They sought God. And in their affliction, in their persecution, they gave glory to God in the midst of that. How are we doing in our life? In Galatians 2 and 20, I'm just going to go ahead and read that. I know we're about out of time. Galatians 2 and 20. It says here, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. These people were still trying to have feasts and whatever, certain meats and all of those things. This isn't talking about works of righteousness, but it's talking about the works of the law. But he said, I don't frustrate the grace of God by trying to live like that. We can frustrate the grace of God in our life. We can keep it from being effective and cause it not to happen. But if we humble ourselves and allow God to work in our life, I will tell you something. When I found the grace of God for real, I never knew it existed like that. I had only heard a little of it, but I never knew the grace of God was as rich as it is. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I want to read maybe one more place, Matthew 7 and 7. Listen to this promise that the Lord Jesus gave us while he was here. It says, ask, and it shall be given you. Now, I believe these kind of things, it is the will of God that we have them. We can ask with faith. We can ask believing. We can ask knowing. God's going to give this to me. I'm going to ask for it. I'm going to put in for it. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to assimilate into my life all the dealings he has with me. And you know what? He's going to give me the grace. I believe God. I believe he'll do that for us today. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? What a promise from the Lord. Wow, that's amazing. The Lord promised us. He said, everyone that asketh, receiveth. I believe we can ask and we can receive. The Lord bless us this morning. I had just asked Rosie for this song because I wanted to read some of it this morning. But, you know, it says, he giveth more grace as our burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as our labors increase. I testify to that. To added afflictions, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, he multiplies peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. Fear not that thy need shall exceed his provision. Our God ever yearns his resources to share. Lean hard on the arm everlasting, availing. The Father both thee and thy load will upbear. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Thank the Lord this morning.